Welcome to our Saint Sunday in Lent Worship podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Saviour's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota, March 3rd, 2024. This is Pastor Olana. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God
our ultimate reading for this said Sunday in Lent is taken from the Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. And the epistle is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 31. And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 13 through 22. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent heart and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchanging truths of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever.
Blessed day to you. This is a Bible study of the Epistle lesson for the third Sunday in Lent. we begin with a prayer. O God, during this solemn and penitential season, we pray that as we hear your word, we may be strengthened in our faith. Forgive our sins and send us the Holy Spirit, that working through word and sacrament, he empowers us to live according to your holy will. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now at the half point of the season of Lent, a season during which we hear how our Savior, Jesus Christ, endured sufferings and death so that all our sins might be forgiven. This need not be a depressing season because we hear about his suffering and death. This is how God worked out his plan for our salvation. And it also is always done in terms of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's necessary that we hear the scriptures clearly, assuring us that it is God himself making this sacrifice for us through his Son, because he loves us and he wants to save us. Let's keep this in mind as we listen attentively to our lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. Thus far the reading. The quotation in our text, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart, is taken from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14, where God denounced the policy of the wise in Judah in seeking an alliance with Egypt when threatened by King Sennacherib of Assyria. Hello?
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 Yes?
My phone went dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was making a beep, beep, beep sound, and then it went dead, so. Anyway.
But it's still it's okay.
Okay.
I can hear, yeah.
All right.
I can remove the conversation, so don't worry. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to start with a quotation.
Okay.
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart, is quoted by Paul here in 1 Corinthians 1. That's a quote from Isaiah 29, verse 14, where God denounces the policy of the wise in Judah who are seeking an alliance with Egypt when they are threatened by the king Sennacherib of Assyria. Instead of trusting in God to save his people, the Jewish leaders sought to save themselves with political alliances. That was an example of men who thought they were wise, but really were foolish, especially since they were the chosen people of God at that time. In other words, they should have trusted God. Our text from 1 Corinthians also includes references to wise men of the world, whether they are Jew or Gentile. They're called philosophers in general. Or the word scholar, for instance, might probably refer to a Jewish teacher of the law. Or the phrase philosopher of this age may refer to the Greek philosophers called sophists, who engaged in long and subtle disputes. St. Augustine, who was a great scholar before he became Christian, after he did become Christian, could say that in the Greek philosophers, he found a parallel to almost all teaching of Christianity except for one thing. He never found the passage, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In other words, he never found a reference to Christ as the Son of God becoming one of us in flesh. He never found God becoming one of us to save us. Another philosopher, Celsus, a worldly philosopher, didn't understand that, and so he mistakenly wrote about God these things. God is good and beautiful and happy, and is in that which is most beautiful and best. If then he descends to men and becomes man, it involves change for God and change from good to bad, from beautiful to ugly, from happiness to unhappiness, from what is best to what is worst. Who would choose such a change, Celsus said? For my mortality is only nature to alter and be changed, but for immortal to abide the same forever. God would never accept such a change because he is immortal and not mortal. That was his reasoning. To the thinking Greek then, like Celsus, the incarnation of God as Jesus in the flesh was a total impossibility. To people who thought like that, it was incredible that God, who had suffered as Jesus had suffered, could possibly be the Son of God. But we know he is the Son of God. So the apostle goes on and he says, God made foolish that kind of wisdom of the world. In other words, all humanly devised philosophical systems without God end in meaninglessness because they have a wrong concept of God and his revelation of himself. When people listen to the revelation of God, they hear true wisdom and are taught to order their lives according to that wisdom when they trust in God. We trust in God because he knows what he's doing, and so all true wisdom comes from him. Then Paul goes on and expands our thoughts about wisdom by contrasting it with foolishness. Jesus expresses a similar thought in comparing wisdom with foolishness. This is Luke 10. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to your children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Thus far that reading. It is God's intention that worldly wisdom should not be the means of knowing him. We are to know him by what he has revealed about himself. Another reason to base our wisdom on God's word and trust him. But the world doesn't believe this, and so they consider the word of God being the foolishness of what was preached. Not that preaching is foolish, but that the message being preached based on Christ crucified, that message is viewed by the world as foolishness. Another ancient philosopher by the name of Plutarch declared that it was an insult to God to involve him in human affairs. God of necessity, he said, was utterly detached from humanity. The very idea of incarnation, of God becoming a man, was revolting to the Greek mind. They were not wise because they didn't listen to God's revelation from himself. Now we want to also talk about wisdom and power. The crucified Christ is the power that saves and the wisdom that transforms seeming folly into ultimate and highest discernment. The Corinthian Christians themselves were living proof that salvation does not depend on anything in man, so that when someone is saved, he must boast in the Lord. Or, as Paul says in these two phrases, because of him, because of God's grace, you are in Christ. It is God who has called us to union and communion with Christ and declared us righteous. It is through faith in Christ that we are justified, that is, declared righteous. The apostle says this so beautifully in Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. One more thing. Paul writes about proper boasting. The quotation with which Paul finishes his passage is from Jeremiah 9:23-24. As Bultmann put it, the one basic sin is self-assertion, or the desire for recognition. It is only when we realize that we can do nothing and that God can and will do everything that real religion begins. It's the amazing fact of life that it is the people who realize their own weakness and their own lack of wisdom who in the end are strong and wise. It is the fact of experience that the man who thinks that he can take on life all by himself is certain in the end to be a shipwreck of his life. The cross of Christ and the word of the cross are God's action for us and for our salvation. Therefore, both are the power of God. This power is not recognized and known by a critical examination of it, but by being saved and being called by it. Its divine character is made manifest by the very fact that it does not meet the expectations and demands of men, either of the Jews who expect to be overwhelmed into salvation by signs, which make repentance and faith unnecessary, nor by the Greeks who expect to be reasoned and argued into a salvation that they find rationally acceptable. The gospel is not according to man. God worked in sovereign freedom when he called the Corinthians. He worked as only God can work, creatively. Paul puts it this way, chose things that are not, and that he is the source of your life. God's work of rescue has excluded all self-assertion of man, his boasting, but has made men's faith rest in God, who alone can be its resting place. Therefore, our boast is not in ourselves. We boast about God, who saves us by faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that in your wisdom, you have worked out salvation for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, who guides and directs us so that we can accept your wisdom by faith and recognize the world's wisdom as foolishness in regard to you for your relationship with us. Keep us strong in that faith that we may continue to trust your wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Sound. May the fruits of your